Okay, today we're going to talk all about visual literacy. It was an awesome article in the IS magazine. We're going to go through my favourite bits. I'm going to add my 10 points. I love this article, so let's get into the podcast.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulations.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing the stereotype. And your host, James McPherson.
What's up, people? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Rebranding Safety does what it says on the tin. It's all about rebranding health and safety. It's a YouTube channel and it's a podcast. On the YouTube channel, you'll get interviews from the podcast, but you also get more kind of YouTube-focused content. We call it Toolbox Tuesdays. Every Toolbox Tuesday, so every Tuesday, there will be a short, anything from 3 minutes to 15 minutes, I think is the longest one, videos on a subject, giving you some tangible skills to take away, whether it's checking a ladder, doing a risk assessment, downloading a risk assessment, whatever. It's tangible skills. Skills you can take away, you might be able to use it for training. I do try to not swear, but I can't promise anything. And then these podcasts are more me coming on, reading an article from a magazine, getting a bit ranty, or we have some people on doing interviews. We've had Jason Anker on, Rachel Butler, Christian Harris, had loads of people. So be sure to go and check it out if you're new. Don't forget to subscribe on all the platforms, just all of them, and YouTube and everything. Let's get into this podcast then. So I'm going to read through a really interesting article about visual literacy. Basically, it's a really posh way of saying, open your eyes and see what's around you and ways that businesses can kind of deal with the potential blind spots, really, or kind of problems with kind of being visually literal. Is that right? Visually literal? I don't know. I'm definitely not going to say that again. It's really hard to say. So let's go in. So I've highlighted a couple of paragraphs, as per usual. So let's start. Little intro. The concept of visual literacy has been around for decades and typically has been used to improve teaching and learning techniques in the classroom. Recently, however, it has found its way into workplaces as a skill and tool to better identify occupational hazards that could lead to unsafe incidents. So basically, it's kind of helping people, teaching people to open their friggin' eyes. But it's such a skill. It is such a skill. Like the picture they've kind of give us here is the kind of is like a warehouse with loads of forklifts, and it just reminds me of like being a forklift driver back in the day, where you know it's so easy to miss that one corner, and that one corner being where somebody's standing by chance and gone. You know, you've hit them or you've nearly hit them, and you just think, or you've hit something. You know, how many times have we reversed in our car and not saw something? You know, there's so many things to look at, and there's so many people going about their own business. It's that kind of, it's like being visually mindful in a way. But I've read this whole article. I thought it was really interesting. There's some really interesting concepts in there. And I do think it's something that maybe businesses can think a lot more about. And I do think it's something that we as people and in our daily lives, but also our workplaces, could have as a real important skill. So next paragraph then. The question posed by the Institute being the people that researched it all, was simple. Does learning to see improve a person's ability to identify hazards in the workplace, keeping workers safer on the job? The premise is that sharper visual literacy enables individuals to perceive and comprehend more about their work environment. So it's all about ways of learning to see what's around you. So it's not just so much as like teaching people to kind of do a 15-point check when you're doing your 3-point turn in your driving test. It's more about kind of, you know, how you're perceiving stuff. You know, we've all seen those kind of adverts around motorbikes on the kind of DVLA kind of, what they call campaigns, there we go, where you kind of, you see the motorbike, but you don't see the motorbike, if that makes sense. I hope you picked up my change in tone there. But it's that kind of like, you acknowledge it's there, but you don't truly perceive it. You don't truly see it there, if that makes sense. You kind of see it in your peripherals is probably the better way to do it. And sometimes, I don't know, anyone in sport, sometimes you'll see stuff in your peripheral and you'll react to it. But that's because maybe when you're playing the sport, you're in that heightened sense of attention, I suppose. You know, you're conscious of everything's around you. You know, you think about, when I think about, when I was reading this, I was thinking about like playing rugby. You know, when you haven't got the ball, you're visually looking around the pitch and you're looking for where to go. If your team's got the ball but you haven't, you're looking at lines to run, what the opposition doing, where can you find that hole to get through. If you get the ball, where are you going to go, who are you going to put in a hole, can you find the hole? And you're opening your eyes, you're looking at, you're trying to understand where on the pitch you are, you want to know where the edge of the pitch is so you don't run out. You know, there's all things going on in your mind all the time. You're very mindful of the situation you're in. Then you get the ball and then you're like, right, who's going to tackle me? How close are they to tackle me? Can I bump them off? Am I stronger? Am I faster? Can I step them? Where can I go? Who's around me? What can I hear? What can I see? And how you perceive that stuff in that kind of high sense of attention and that high kind of pressure environment, it's hard to make decisions. Like, afterwards, you know, you might give a pass and then you think, ah, that was a complete wrong pass. Maybe the pass is too wide, or it was too late, or it's too far back and it's a duff pass or whatever. You just think, ah, I knew that was not the right way to go. But in the moment, that's not what you saw. And it's very difficult to kind of do that. And sometimes maybe you have to deal with your own attitude just as much as your own visual movement, I suppose, is the best way to say it. I don't really know. That's just basically, I was thinking about rugby whilst I was reading this article. So there are three basic types of bias in visual literacy. Once you see something, it's impossible to unsee it. And then we'll go on to some examples of that in a minute. Next, sometimes you cannot see what is in front of you, even if you know it's there. Blind spot, that's what they call that one. They call the first one your move, by the way, but blind spot and your move. And then the next one is you're always filling in the blanks based on what you expect to be there. So some of the examples here, they're obviously very visual examples, but I'll describe them as much as I can. So basically, in the your move section, you've got a kind of silhouette of chess pieces with a very smoky, dark background. And it asks you what colour you can see. So basically it says, an example of being unable to discern something even though you know it's there can be demonstrated through this image. What if you knew that the chess pieces in the top half of the picture were the same colour as the bottom half? Can you see that? And yeah, they do kind of look like the same colour. Maybe I thought the ones at the top seemed more white and the ones at the bottom seemed more black. But everything we see, according to what's saying in here, is based on context. We can't see the chess pieces are the same colour because the backgrounds are all cloudy and the colours are changing. What happens, though, if we change the backgrounds at the same time? So basically, now they make the whole background grey and they just have the original smoky kind of bit that was over the silhouettes in the chess pieces. And this is really hard to explain on a podcast, but they all look the same color. So the point here is that it's your concept. And this reminded me of that kind of heuristics piece that we touched on in the book review of Accidents to Zero, that maybe the media and our anchors of what we've seen historically, what we're seeing now, changes our perception of something that is right in front of us. So the context of the situation changes how we look at something. So it finishes off in this example that now we can see both sets of the chess pieces are the same colour. Our ability to see things depends on the visual context or distractions in the environment or the background. So it's all about everything else going on. It's that environment defines the behaviours piece, isn't it? It's the environment defines what we see. is the same. Then we move on to blind spot. So here, basically, you've got a photo of just like shrubbery, like just weeds and twigs and some kind of like landscape. So in the black and white image, it's a black and white image, by the way. in the black and white image, can you see the hazard? ? By the nature of this question, you know there's something there to see, but what is the hazard supposed to be? And you can't really, you can probably just make out what it is and what's there, but then basically they have the exact same photo in colour, and you can quite clearly see there's a leopard in that. So returning to the black and white picture, you can now see the leopard once you've seen it, even though you maybe didn't previously see it. So the point is that once you see something, it's hard to remember what it's like to not see it. And I thought that was interesting at the point that, like, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I was thinking about kind of like, you know, you have like those hot tap signs, you know, warning hot water. And I was thinking it's something around there, like we see it all the time, but actually it's quite the opposite. We see it all the time and we don't really see it, if that makes sense, because we're so used to seeing it, so we kind of just forget it's there. And maybe that's not the same thing. But it really does get your mind kind of going. And I remember reading this on the train and being like, that's quite interesting. And then the next one is fill in the blanks. Our minds constantly fill in the blanks depending on what we see. So they've got a statement here saying, can you read this? And then they take some letters out of that. And because you've seen it all before, can you read this? You know it really is, can you read this? And there's loads of things around this. And then they change the statement at the end and they put, you are not reading this. Oh, hang on a minute, I can't read it. That's ironic, isn't it? Oh, is it still possible to read other phrases with letters missing, even if you haven't seen the full phrase previously? You are now reading this. What are you reading? There we go. I nearly just kind of ruined this whole article from Ayosh. Anyway, so the point is that our minds fill the blanks. There's loads of exercise there where, like, there's words missing and stuff like that. And I think that's a good point when you're like, you're writing an article, or you're writing an essay, or you're writing an email, your mind puts words in for you. When that word's not there, you physically don't see it, that it's there. Because when you're reading it, it's there because you know that there would be, it's normally like a connective word like this or and or something like that. You genuinely think it's there, but you don't see it. You don't see that it's not there, sorry. So I thought that was really interesting. Those three kind of examples there. Obviously, it's very difficult to describe this, a very visual article, but there are some really interesting points, and I definitely think it's something that probably businesses, especially in the kind of logistics, warehousing, factory kind of environment, maybe people that are, you know, got a lot of drivers for work, really this is a kind of skill that you want to be rolling out, you know, people being able to perceive, to see what's there, but then be able to perceive and react to it is a skill in its own right. And maybe it's a skill that we should be teaching more. So let's kind of continue on then. To overcome visual bias and inattentional blindness, I think I've said that right. COVE, COVE, which is the people that did this kind of research, recommends a structured way of looking at work and work areas, which begins with taking in the big picture, the whole scene. The process begins by looking at the perimeter of a visual scene and then moving inwards. This process should make more sense from a safety professional perspective, because a key procedure after an incident has occurred is to assess whether an area is safe before you kind of go and gather the details. For me, this kind of really just it works in tandem, or is maybe exactly the same as being mindful. It's that kind of, you get to the building and you just have a look around. What are we seeing? You know, it's quite a military thing, I think, you know, of that kind of assessing the situation when you're there. I think if you've worked in the fire industry, I speak to a lot of fire safety officers, and a lot of them say they can't really go into a building without checking where their exits are. It's just they've seen it go wrong so many times. And you hear about a lot of that in like films and stories and documentaries around like military people. It's the same thing. They're going in, they're assessing the reaction, they're assessing people, they're assessing the situation. It's the same thing. It's just being very observant of your environment. And I think that's really a skill that we lack. And it's a skill that's difficult to grasp, I think, as well. So it's that kind of step-by-step thing, but for me it's just more that kind of just being mindful of what we're seeing and just opening our eyes and not just walking. You know, we're all guilty of doing it, me especially, just walking on our phones and stuff like that. Just open our eyes, look up, what's around us, what's the situation. Next, the next paragraph is, next is to look... And this is probably where I got a little bit lost, and I think maybe you need a bit more context around this, but I'll discuss it in here briefly. Next is to look for the elements of visual literacy. And now, assuming these are the elements, because this is what it said, line, shape, colour, texture and space. Observers should ask what potential hazards they can see by looking for indicators in the five elements. Horizontal, vertical or curvy lines, shapes or angles, warm or cool colours, rough and small surfaces, and how much space there is between objects. Now, if I highlighted that because, you know, I wanted to kind of highlight that you can't read an article and just get it straight away, because I read that and I thought, this obviously means something, and I am intrigued. I would like to maybe kind of look into this a lot more. And it moves on to kind of talk about the kind of benefits of this stuff. But I just think it was kind of proof that if you read stuff without actually knowing what it's about, it means fuck all. You know, I don't understand what they're talking about when they say looking at the colours and the lines and the shapes and the gap between distances. But I yet still found this article very intriguing, very useful. And it kind of, ironically, pun intended, opened my eyes a little bit to opening my eyes. But I think there's a hell of a lot more to this. And that was the point of why I highlighted that paragraph, is to say that if this kind of perks your interest the same as it does mine, then maybe it's something to look into. I don't think it's something that maybe we could... you read up into. I don't really know, if I'm honest. I might have to look into it a bit more, but it's that kind of piece of, I really feel like this is a skill that we should know about, and I really feel like we could do with some better people to come on and talk about it. So anyone listening to this that's an absolute advocate and expert on visual literacy, please message me. Let's move on then. Improved visual skills can be advantageous when seeking pertinent evidence from a scene. Investigators may become better at asking witnesses key questions to fill in the details of what they saw. So now we're talking about actually not seeing, we're talking about it helps us work around how we're talking and how we're approaching conversations based on what we're seeing. So now we're starting to really see the wider benefits of kind of being visually literal. I don't even know if that is a phrase or the right way to say it, but I just thought that was interesting to kind of think of it from an investigative point of view. When you see, like, kind of, it reminded me of like Sherlock Holmes, when you see in the newer series where he kind of goes in and it kind of shows what he's seeing and it picks everything up. It's kind of like having Iron Man's mask on or playing Metal Gear Solid, where it highlights all the stuff for you so you can see it, and then you know what's in the room, so then you don't really have to look for it, it's there and it's highlighted, so you know what to do, where to see, what to talk about. I thought that was interesting. So can safety managers, it can help safety managers verify and audit effectiveness of corrective actions. Training in visual literacy serves as an enduring safety aid, providing important learning for workers at every level. And then it goes on to talk about kind of like the quantitative measurements of it, and that they're seeing some real impacts of this stuff. You know, they're getting some real, and we move on then to this where they actually talk about that instead of me just waffling on about it. Encouraging results have already emerged from Cummings Manufacturing. After the representatives completed the initial workshop, 236 issues were identified using elements of visual literacy. Incident rate decreased from 1.72 to 1.29 between 17 and 18. The types of hazards identified at Cummins' manufacturing site are varied and show the diversity of areas where visual literacy can be helpful in pinpointing potential hazards. And non-safety hazards, which refer to hazards related to quality or production, were also being highlighted. So I do think there's a real potential in this stuff. I do think if you're kind of working in that kind of, probably, maybe there's something, there's legs for this in most industries, but I did find that I was always resorting back to my time in logistics, warehousing and manufacturing. I think there are definitely industries where this would just slot in nicely, of that kind of training piece, that kind of exercise. And I do think, you know, it's probably not a sensible approach, but I do think this is a skill that maybe everybody needs, and that's a costly approach, 100%. But I really think, I feel like I need to know more about this. And as I was reading it, I feel like this is a big skill that we all need, and actually maybe just, pun intended again, overlook a little bit. Like, you know, people just see stuff and it's like, well, actually, can we be better at that? And according to this article, we can be better at seeing stuff and, you know, taking those blinders off. And I just think there's some real potential here that we should be looking into. So I'm definitely going to look into it more. And the more I know, I will let you know. So that was an introduction into an article, which was an introduction into visual literacy, which I butchered. And if you want to see the article, read the article, I'll drop a link in the description as well. So thanks again for listening, guys. That's been Rebranding Safety. I've been James McPherson. That was an article from IS Magazine, which I'll drop in the description. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast if you're listening on iTunes or any other platform where you can do that. Don't forget to subscribe as well and share the podcast, people. Share it out there to business owners, to managers, etc. People that are not in the safety industry. Let's get this stuff out there to the wider businesses. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you've liked this. Don't forget to engage with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, etc. I'll catch you in the next podcast. Safe.